Today's reading starts in John chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So we spent our last two readings looking at John chapter 9 with this man that was born blind, dealing with, you know, the disciples asking this question, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said it was not that he sinned. And then we saw likewise the Pharisees accusing the man of being in sin because he had been blind, and therefore his testimony was not worth listening to. They called Jesus a sinner. The man that was born blind said, "We know that God doesn't hear one who's a sinner, and yet we see him doing these things." So he drew a logical deduction that Jesus would be at the least one who is approved by God, even though he said he doesn't really know who he is. So the Pharisees kept questioning him and questioning him. And so where we picked up today was the very end of this account, where they had thrown this man who was born blind out of the synagogue, and Jesus hears this and finds him and asks that question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says rightly, he says, "Who is he that I may believe in him?" So this man that was born blind didn't have knowledge about Jesus. I take from this that perhaps his encounter with Jesus when Jesus healed him may have been the very first time that he has any knowledge whatsoever of Jesus. All he knows is somebody came by and healed me of my sight. And just because that happened, they're worthy of taking a second thought. I think also that this man who was born blind had an honest heart and that he was a true follower of God. He speaks truths that even the Pharisees want to ignore. And all of this gets put together to give us a whole picture of this man, that he's willing to learn, he's willing to listen, he's willing to believe. And that's very important. It's remarkable. And Jesus is giving him this opportunity to know the one who gave him his sight. At the same time, Jesus begins to explain this spiritual truth regarding blindness. And he's relating it, yes, because this man was born blind. Now, John stated in verse 6 of chapter 10 that the Pharisees did not understand what he was saying to them. However, they asked the question in verse 40 of chapter 9, "Are we also blind?" So I think they understood at least a little bit of what Jesus was describing and understood that he was, you know, making a point about them. And so they understood at least enough to ask that question, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." So because they were in the position they were and had the opportunities that they were in, there was an expectation by Jesus that they should be able to see. And they claimed to see. And because they make that claim and because they had the opportunity, he says, you're blind. You blinded yourself to the truth. And so, yes, there's going to be guilt upon you because you don't listen. Now in chapter 10, he starts talking about the shepherd and the door. And he says, those who climb in by another way are thieves and robbers. Now in tomorrow's reading, we're going to get into that a little bit more as he repeats some of that and goes into more detail. But just here he says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. If we just think about this logically, some things become very evident. First of all, when you think about it logically, you understand that there's no reason for one who's supposed to go into the sheep, who's supposed to go into that area, to go in by any way other than the main door. In other words, there's no reason to climb in a window or to go over the fence or, you know, any of those ideas. He says that that's one who's a deceiver, that's one who is a thief and a robber. And they're going in by some means that's unlawful. So that's the first thing, is the one who lawfully is going in there, they're going to go in by the door. The second thing is, the sheep know who's supposed to be there and who's not. They don't know the voice of this stranger that comes in by some other way. They know the voice of the shepherd. They're willing to follow the shepherd. They're not willing to follow others. So we kind of combine all this together with the blindness and the sheepfold, and we realize that the person who's blind but wants to see, they understand they have a need that needs to be filled. The one who can see and does not think that they are blind, think they've got it all figured out, they're not looking. They are beyond help. And they're not looking to follow the shepherd. They're not looking, even though the prophecies told them, this is the door, and this is the one that's going to come through this door, and you need to follow him. But here, the Pharisees, they're not willing to follow him. They have not even looked for the proper door, nor for the proper person. They're not just blind, as in unable to figure out some things. They're blind to their sin and their need. They've deceived themselves to think that they are righteous when they are not. They deceive themselves to think that they know the way and would lead others. And so the blind end up leading the blind. If you go back through everything we've read in chapter 9, they are looking for any reason at all to not believe. They're looking for any reason at all to doubt that Jesus is who he is, and any reason at all to doubt that this man that was born blind was healed of that blindness that he was born with, that he lived for decades with, that everybody knows he lived with. Can you imagine the idea of somebody contriving a deceit that would involve decades of pretending to be blind? But no, they're just not willing to listen. So they want to cast doubt. They want to throw any doubt they can into the way so that they don't have to believe. In other words, they think we're just fine the way we are. We don't need what this man is bringing, and neither do you. The blind leading the blind. You see, Jesus doesn't just call us to look at everybody else and try to, you know, make some determination. In fact, we're to be very careful with judging. We're not to judge with anything but righteous judgment, which would be judgment based on the Word of God. And we're not to be quick to judge, and we're not to treat others as respecters of persons. We're supposed to treat them as God does, which is not a respecter of persons. We should not be prejudiced against people. But what we really need to be looking to is ourselves. Do we see our flaws? Do we see our sins? Do we see our needs? We must look at ourselves. We must undergo that self-examination and do so honestly. Don't try to convince yourself that you're perfect, because none of us is. Don't try to convince yourself that you have nothing to repent of, because we all have things to repent of. So we need to pray today that we have the honesty and the willingness to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves, and to look to Jesus for the answers for those deficiencies and those needs that we see within us. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.